o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. Some of you haven't had a move at all because you were listening on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, or you were watching on YouTube, or you were streaming, whatever you might have done. But some of you who were listening on 100.5 ESPN Madison or on the Madison audio stream, you had to switch over because we have Brewers Reds coming up in Madison. Say hi to Joshy, Josh DiMaggio. Oh, and I'm sorry. Wade Bates informs me that we're still on an ESPN Beaver Dam. So
we are
indeed. Never want to slight our team at 14:30 ESPN Beaver Dam. So thanks, Wade. Hi, Joshy. How are you?
Oh, I'm just so great. Happy to be here. Just left a meeting. Ready to dominate the last hour of Wilde and Tausch. How's that sound?
Just left a meeting? I thought you were supposed to be in there during the show.
Yes, I am in here during the show. I was taking it on my computer while keeping an ear on and firing our breaks and live reads.
So did you leave a meeting if you didn't actually attend it in person and you attended it virtually?
I closed it out on my computer. My attendance will count for the meeting.
Okay. Fair enough. We spent some time talking about Keyshawn Nixon. Tausch, did you make the switch to the other state? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, just
want to
make sure.
I didn't want to interrupt you. I only like interrupting just checking when
in.
We're on.
Yeah, no.
Both, Mark, and
yeah, I know. You never interrupt.
Milwaukee, I want to be a little more respectful. So,
why?
I don't know. It's just something I said.
It's just something I said.
You didn't even really introduce me, so that's why I was wanted to make sure I would give you a little time.
I didn't know I needed to reintroduce you at the top of every hour.
Yeah,
do I do that normally?
It's a new setup. Yep, I think. Josh, you don't think a reintro would have been good there with all these moving parts, or you think I'm just being too sensitive?
Joining us now from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer.
So
he is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, how you doing today?
Good, buddy. Thanks for the intro. I appreciate it for our 94.5 and our Beaver Dam audience.
We were already those stations for the first 2 hours.
Okay. Joshy, what Jen Game and Chewy this morning? What was the big? What was your big takeaway from all this? Because I think for me, the Zach Tom stuff was most interesting. That Jason got, even though he was whispering like a little mutant. What did you guys talk about today?
It was largely the Zach Tom thing, like you talked about, and then we talked about the Kenny Clark thing. And is it an excuse or an explanation? And how that all came down
both?
There. That's sort of where we landed, because the idea is, I mean, Kenny is a longtime veteran, and his production last year was out of character. So having some sort of explanation towards that kind of can soothe the concerns about maybe the Packers re-signing a guy who was past his prime. I do think he has a lot to prove, but it made it go away a little bit. And we did juxtapose it against, how come Kenny doesn't get the excuse, or we didn't hear about, well, he's playing injured all year, when Jordan Love, they had those readily available for him?
Yeah, he didn't miss any games, right?
Correct. As far as I know, he was
so
on the injury
report. The question
report.
I have for us, and especially media folks, but fans too, is would you rather? I like to go back to the old days when I used to take Eleanor into pre-K and we'd sit and play would you rather the whole way in. And the question is, because if he doesn't play, everybody always injury prone, would you rather have someone gutting it out but not performing to the level that you expect, but they're getting paid? Or would you rather him just say, I can't do it, put somebody else in? Because I would argue most of us would say, I want to see Kenny Clark gut it out. And even though he wasn't as productive, it wasn't like he stunk, but he didn't put up – you just never saw it. His test is when he plays the Vikings, he annihilated that center. Bradbury and whoever else is playing. That is where we didn't
see. Ray Bradbury.
As many pushing guys in the backfield and making plays behind the line of scrimmage.
So he went from He went from 7.5 sacks and 11 TFLs to 1 sack and 4 TFLs. So I think it lends credence to it affecting his performance, even though he didn't miss a game. Your question is a good one. I did want to interject briefly, if I may. This is a big sticking point for Chewy, right, Joshy?
Constantly.
Like, he brought this up with Zach Tom, and the he's competing. How come we don't talk about how he played with a torn pec and all the other stuff? But the Jordan Love Defense Fund was covering on the quarterback. Now, again, I understand people have different opinions on what Jordan Love's season was last year. I have the numbers in front of me, including that playoff game against Dallas. So over the final nine games out of, well, leading into the San Francisco playoff game, and if we add the first three quarters of that game, his numbers are going to be even better. But over those nine games leading into San Francisco, Jordan Love, I mean, this is, I don't know how you don't look at this and go, man, he was great, and he wasn't anything close to that last season. Watching the film, dropped passes, knee injury, whatever. He completed 70.7% of his passes for 2,422 yards, 21 touchdowns, one interception, passer rating of 116.6. I mean, those are Aaron Rodgers-style numbers. If you're curious, and I know you are, Aaron Rodgers, when he did the run the table thing, because that, would we agree that that was his best run of his career?
I don't know. The run the table? I think that 2020 season was pretty special.
Okay. Well, over the eight games, well, then it's going to make it a little harder. But over their eight-game winning streak that got them to the NFC Championship game when they had Ladarius Gunter covering Julio Jones and Gooch playing guard, over those eight games, Rodgers completed 68.9% of his passes for 2,384 yards, 21 touchdowns, one interception, a 117.9 passer rating. So what I'm saying is that was arguably Rodgers' best stretch of football. Jordan Love had a stretch like that. To go back to Homer's point, that's hard to do even for someone as great as Rodgers. I don't know how great Jordan Love will turn out to be. But he was, if you look at that period of time, he played quarterback better than anybody else in the league. No one can look at Jordan Love, QBR be damned, and say he played quarterback better last year than anyone else in the league.
No.
You can't. So nope. Why is this? And why can't we just be honest about it instead of, oh, well, this is what Dan Orlovsky said, or this is what, you know, I don't know, Bubby Brister or whoever else might be out there. That's the part I don't get.
Bubby Brister is doing it. How about Bobby Hebert?
No, I don't know if he is. That was just the name that popped into my head randomly. Bobby Hebert.
Richard Todd.
Jeff Hostetler.
Mark Malone. They're a pretty good analyst, Mark Malone. Thought he did a nice job. The Jordan Love stuff, I really feel like we have just delved on top of delved.
We don't have to keep going. I just wanted to get those numbers for people who were curious.
Yeah, and it's interesting, but I do want to understand from a fan standpoint, what's better? Kenny Clark not performing to the level we hope? Or Kenny Clark just saying, you know what, my foot ain't right. I'm going to go get surgery and I'm done for the year. What do we want?
Of course, we want to say that we want them to play. But it's the debate of excuse versus explanation that Jen, Gabe, and Chewy had today, right? Because you say it yourself. If you're out there, you're going to be judged. Mm-hmm. Whether that's right or wrong. And Jordan Love was out there and he's judged. Now, again, you can say that one of the reasons he didn't play at that level is because of the injuries he was dealing with. And you can say that about Zach Tom. And you can say that about Kenny Clark. Are you accepting of that? My question is, what about the people who matter? Like, who gives a damn about what we think or what the fans think? How does Goody, how does LaFleur look at those guys? Because to have Adam Stenovich proclaim that Zach Thomas competing for his job would indicate that they didn't give him a whole lot of grace for playing with a weakened left side because he tore his pec.
I'll tell you.
But
this,
in Kenny Clark's case, maybe it's different. I don't know.
I'll tell you this. I think coaches, and you've seen this now with David Bakhtiari, Jair Alexander, coaches, if you can play and you can gut through it, they want you out there. And if you can't, they just want to know with some clarity where you're at. What you can't have is somebody that's out there and not performing and not giving you at least the baseline production you need in order to win as a football team. So there's always that, if I'm out there, I'm not helping the team. That should be that line of delineation. Was
sure.
there a point last year? Now, you have a whole new D-line coach. There's was there a point last year that, and it is a lot trickier when you're dealing with a veteran player that you have a lot of respect for that has played a lot of football for you. So you can't just leave it up to the player. The player, in most cases, will try and find a way to get out there unless they know in their heart of hearts they're not going to do the team any good. In Kenny's case, my guess is he had not had to deal with any – everybody's had injuries, but anything that was – and you get older, and he is – remember, he's only – what is he, 28, 29, whatever? He played when
he was 29. He will turn 30 on October 4th.
So he has played a lot of ball, and he is going to – the tread is starting to wear. We all know that. You only got so much in you. And I think for Kenny, I think this is probably a rude awakening to when you're 24 or 23, you can probably, okay, I can do it, and you got a little extra stuff. Now other stuff starts acting up. And I guess the question is, would the Packers have been better off letting Kenny, if that injury was bothering to that degree, playing some of these other guys, getting a Lucas Van Ness in there, maybe a little bit more on pass rush situations? Because Kenny Clark, throughout his career, once he got rolling, year two, three, four, etc., he's a dog, man. Hey, he was. I always go back to, and I already mentioned Bradbury, but I just remember like that Minnesota could not block
Blueberry.
Him. They just couldn't.
It
was
they could
fun
not.
To
You're
watch.
Right.
And then last year, you didn't see that. And again, they have different players and a different scheme, so you take it for what it's worth. But you didn't see any of that last year. Like, if there was, it was very sporadic. It wasn't Kenny. And then you ask, is Kenny doing the team right by going out there gutting it out? I want my players to want to gut it out. But I also want my coaches and everybody to understand I can only give you so much. So maybe platoon a little bit more, maybe rotate a little bit more, still get out there, but understanding that he is going to continue to go try and play even when he maybe shouldn't. I think, didn't he go down with Jake Glazer down to, like, Aruba or Mexico or somewhere to get some kind of – wasn't there a story about that? That might be a nice little fun story for you to write at Channel 3000, what he did and how that's going to help rejuvenate him for next season.
So just for what it's worth – I do think they played him less because of his injury. He played 63% of the defensive snaps last year, even though he didn't miss a game. That was the lowest percentage of snaps he's played since his rookie year. He had never been below 70% since he became a full-time starter in his second year. And he was at 63% last year. So they did play him less.
They understood that. And I think when you ask that question to kind of put a bow on this conversation, the coaches want guys that will fight through and play through stuff.
No doubt.
But they still have to perform. Even if it's not up to the same standard, you have to perform. And I think in most of these cases, it's can you perform better than the guy that we would put in for you? and I don't know the answer. If Kenny Clark wasn't able to perform to his level, I know T.J. Slayton played a bunch. Was there nobody else, especially in pass rush situations? Because that has been the story that got that was the big storyline all offseason, was that's got to improve. Well, Kenny Clark was one of your better pass rushers, and he brought that from the interior push.
Yeah.
Interior push helps the outside rush guys because you can't just wash guys by. You have to – so all of this goes in the kind of the cycle of how you get to have a good pass rush. And when you have a link that is broke or not as healthy as needed, you're not going to get that same collaborative effort to get quarterbacks on the ground. And I think, unfortunately, with Kenny's injury, that was part of the equation.
Keyshawn Nixon did mention the Jair Alexander situation. Now, that is also another subject that we have extensively talked about and analyzed. But I do want you to hear what he said, because I just want to get your interpretation on what you think is coming next. So we will play what Keyshawn had to say next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Wilde and Tausch back with you on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, YouTube channels. And from his undisclosed location, he's the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Oh, you're a beauty. You know that? You know you're
a beauty.
Come
on, that was funny. That was funny.
That was good. That was
So we talked to Keyshawn Nixon yesterday. Of course, we had to ask about Jair Alexander. I do think it's important to point out that in Matt Steinman's report on The Athletic, that the possibility was floated that Jair was going to show up even before the mandatory minicamp. We've been over this ground a lot about the idea of why he would come in and kind of force a decision. He was not there yesterday. And so we asked Keyshawn Nixon about him, and here is what Keyshawn had to say.
I don't really know about that. I love 2-3 to death. That's my boy. If he come back and he's here, we'd love to have him. I'd love to play with Jair. That's just what it is since I've been here. Jair pushed me to be really who I am because it's always like friendly competition between me and him. And whatever happens, happens. We don't have control over that. If he's here, we're going to rock out. If he's not, we're still going to rock out. So that's just how it goes.
Whatever happens, happens. Last week, Xavier McKinney said essentially the same thing. He's got to do what's best for him. I'm going to support him no matter what. Are there any breadcrumbs here, Hansel, of this, or is it just the continued?
Yeah. No. There's breadcrumbs all over the place.
And
Jair wants to
what are they
back,
telling you?
And the money's just not where it needs to be for Jair, and I'm sure he's talked it over with. Now, again, those options as we get closer to training camp. Jair, if he is really unhappy and it's not going to work, he needs to report and force Green Bay to cut him.
Yeah,
that's how this will have to play out. So I think there was that optimism level. Jair, as I've said earlier, I mean, I think the Packers hold all the cards in this case. The only thing Jair can do is force their hand. But I don't think Jair wants to get cut. If he wanted to get cut, he'd be released. I think he wants to come back in Green Bay. I think he wants it to be closer to his terms than theirs. Well, that's unless I'm misreading this, my guess is that you heard him talking, you heard Jordan, you've heard a lot of his teammates talk well about Jair. I think Jair is a well-liked guy in that locker room. And I think they all believe if he's healthy, he can play. And I think the Packers are great with that, but it has to be minimal to no risk for them. They've seen this movie before, and they've seen it only 50% of the time. They have not been able to watch the endings, and that's what they're going to guard against. So when you hear Keyshawn or X talking about this, it's pretty obvious to me that you got to do what he's got to do. And what that means to me is they're lowballing him and not giving him much, if anything, as far as guarantees of money. Everything will have to be earned. And Jair's just got to look at it and say, is there anything better? Is there any options better? And you know that if you come here, you're going to get opportunities to play and play a lot, whether it's DB1, DB2, whatever it is. But his teammates are telling you the numbers aren't where they need to be, at least not as we sit here today.
All right. I don't know.
Did you not see it the same way?
I do. What I don't know, and what I'm very curious to see, is what happens next week. Like, does he? Is there some sort of do they cut him before he gets there? Because if there is not, if the contract's not in place by Monday, and the first practice of the mandatory minicamp is Tuesday, will we have a decision? Or can they still string this out even further? Like, and who wants it strung out? I know I don't. One way or another,
you?
I would... Huh?
You don't want it strung out?
I don't. No, I either want him in or out. And I would think that he would want that, and I would think the Packers would want that. I mean, it's June.
This is not like maybe a quarterback that is trying to get chemistry with receivers and understanding a new offense in a new city. Like, none of that is in play here. So this is business. That's all this is. And business typically needs deadlines to spur some action. There is a deadline if Jair comes into camp, and it's a mandatory minicamp. Now, again, they can work it out and say, so why don't you steer clear? We won't fine you. But, yeah, Jair, if Jair wants a resolution, show up. There'll be a resolution. We're either not going to give you what you want, we're going to cut you, or we'll work it out. Because the Packers will not have Jair Alexander out at Clark Hinkle next week with a $16 million base salary looming. That is not going to happen. What will happen is Green Bay will either say, all right, hold, slow down, we'll do this, and we'll figure it out. That's what this, I think that's where this thing is shaken out. And I don't mind it. I don't think it's as big a deal as you do. Is it a little added drama? Since when do you not like drama? You love drama.
It's not, no. It's not the drama. It's not the, like, I feel like, and please tell me if I'm wrong, but in Jair's situation, I would think you would want to know what the hell your career is going to look like moving forward. And does he have any measure of confidence that the Packers will be willing to move on their number? Like, what in the Goody, Russ Ball era has indicated to you that when they want to lowball someone, that they're going to come up from that number significantly? Like, I would guess... Right, and I would guess that they have said, look, this is what we're going to do. Here's our offer. Maybe Matt reported the offer because it was presented as a take it or leave it. Maybe. That's, again, I don't know. And Matt hasn't told me.
If you had Jair's number, that would help.
Yeah, I'm aware. Reach out. It's a sore subject.
The question, I guess, what I don't understand is, you know your market at this point. It's not as if you're going to get cut and somebody's going to be offering you $12 million in guarantees and you're going to... Now, maybe he feels that way or he feels like he should, or, you know, a lot of times at this point, you saw it with Jordy, you kind of get it and then you don't really want to go anywhere, but at some point you just figure, I have to do this just for me.
Yeah.
And this is what's right. And Jordy, but that happened in March. March and June
also
might as well
true.
Be 6 years apart when it comes to the NFL calendar. A lot of budgeting and money is already spent. So Jair will be playing on a lot of incentives regardless of where he plays this year. Mm-hmm. The scenario with the fact that he likes Jeff Hafley and Matt LaFleur, I think, and him get along fine. It really, and you've said this from the jump, this comes back to, does Goody really want it back? And you can say all the right things. He wasn't even saying the right things if you wanted him back when you listened to him in February and March.
Correct.
He was very upfront about, well, I don't know, whatever. If it happens, great. If not, no big deal. Which is not typically something where there's urgency about getting him back. Now maybe the cards have fallen and you can look at it and say, you know what? Yeah, we'll take a shot at the end. We'll put a – we're not going all in. But if somebody does a min bet and I can catch a flush card or a, you know, a gut shot straight card, it's worth the risk. But I'm not paying half pot or three-quarters pot in order to try and draw something that's maybe at 15 or 20% to win. That,
right,
to me, is where this situation is at.
Well, maybe we won't reach our end game thumbs up or thumbs down on Tuesday. Maybe we won't.
We want him. So for us, we want him reporting.
I want
Sunday.
Him back. Yep. I
the
want,
Packers,
I want him
it's
reporting.
It's a reporting thing. The Packers the Packers don't want him to report until there's something done.
Yes, correct.
Right?
They do not want to have to tell him, figure out a way to tell him, well, we'll let you come to practice, but we're not going to put you. Like, you tell me, Mr. NFLPA, how can they limit him?
Have a Gatorade, sit back, take a beat, kind of watch what's going on.
Instead of sitting with Lois, you're sitting with Flea. So what can they do to allow him back for the mandatory minicamp without risking him pop? I saw the Steelers tight end just popped his Achilles, which is different than popping a pec, and now he's done for the year. That's what their fear is. Then they're on the hook for $16 million. So you tell me, Mr. NFLPA rep, what can they do with him that they are in accordance with the CBA and allow him onto the roster or into the building? But, you know, like, do they? Well, we're going to limit you in the weight room because, you know, we don't know what your workouts have been. So you're just going to do calisthenics. And at practice, we don't want you going through individual drills, but you can do some work on the side. Like, do they have anything that they can do?
I mean, realistically, you walk in that building and anything that you do, and I'm telling you this, I heard this from a horse's mouth when I knew I was going to be released. You drop a weight on your foot, that's legitimately something that could happen, and you get set back. And now, again, it all times up with what the rehab time is and whatnot and everything else from a proration standpoint, but the organization's going to be very cautious. I'm talking caution on top of caution. Mm-hmm. As far as anything, because if something does happen on site, they're on the hook. And I know the G&G, they ain't going to want to be on the hook for $16 million for a guy, especially if he can't play. That I know.
No, definitely not.
Yep.
All right, we need to get to Whoa Nelly. Nerp. Yep. We need to get to Whoa Joshy, the version of Whoa Nelly that we like to play. I do want to remind you that there's all kinds of great episodes of Behind the Bucks available now on the Bucks Plus audio network, whether it's the Dame story, Bucks and Six, and the Brandon Jennings story, Going for Gold, there's the Bucks stories of playing in the Olympics, or behind the scenes of the Giannis documentary. It's all there for you on the Bucks Plus audio network, where you can find Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Whoa, Joshy is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
So this, Joshy, this Brewers-Reds game, even earlier than the other getaway games, that's why we transitioned to you at 11 instead of 11:30, right?
That is correct. I believe it's like an 11:40 start. I think it might have just started.
Okay. So we have not always put you in position to succeed, where we switch over to Milwaukee and then immediately make you the centerpiece of the first segment on ESPN Milwaukee only and ESPN Beaver Dam, Wade Bates. Now, you've had a little bit of time to warm up, but you haven't, we didn't really give you a whole lot of airtime there. Are you ready for some Wojoshy?
I'd like to say I'm born ready, but yes, I'm ready.
All right. Then bring it on.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraka's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
All right, this one just came across my desk here within the past hour from our great friends, 620 WTMJ. The Milwaukee County will be replacing the annual July 3rd fireworks with a drone show. I believe in 2024, the fireworks were canceled due to lack of sponsorship. So now in reaction, they will be doing what they describe as three waves of drones lasting 14 minutes each over McKinley Beach. Viewers can expect images of the most iconic landmarks and other patriotic local themes around Milwaukee. Quoting, the drone show is an exciting and environmentally conscious way to celebrate our community. Unlike traditional fireworks, drone shows reduce noise and air pollution while delivering an unforgettable experience. I've never viewed myself as a fireworks guy, but I'm anti-drone show replacing the fireworks, especially for the 4th of July. What are your guys' thoughts?
Agree.
Tausch?
I agree. The drone shows, I think, I don't know how. Is there, because part of the deal, and I know dog lovers hate fireworks shows. I get
we
that.
Do.
But there's something about the smell. There's something about the fact you got to be on alert. You got to be ready for a whipping thing
around. Getting cinders dropped on you if too close.
You got to be alert. But I just love
something about it.
And I don't need to see 150 fireworks shows, but the 4th of July, you want to see it. You want to feel it. And drone shows aren't going to give you that. So it's better than nothing. I think, unfortunately, this is going to be the new way forward. But... no, give me fireworks. Give me Liberty. Give me the 4th of July. Give me the smells and the shrapnel that come with it.
Have you seen a drone show? Like, they did one for the draft. I did not see it. I was busy writing and working, so I didn't get to see the production. Have either of you ever actually seen in person one of these drone shows in the sky?
Yeah, I watched the one at the draft. It was almost sort of over the Tundra Trio, so it was very close to us. It was not knowing it was going to happen was kind of neat for a little bit, but then it's just a long drawn out thing of shapes changing, which are obviously like a computer program that's sort of like automated to do it. So like, it was cool to see Vince Lombardi in drone form, but okay. I ran out of interest very fast. Like, all right, well, that was neat. And then it was like, okay, I mean, it's a football. There's the Lombardi trophy. Like, it's definitely not the same pomp and circumstance, and they're going to try and convince us that it is. Like, we could hear it, and it was, like, disconcerting. It was like a low hum, like a of them, like, moving around as they were doing it. It was like, oh, like if you were driving by on the highway, you'd be like, oh, look at that. That's kind of cool. And you'd be like, I got my dose. That's all I needed.
Josh, that may be between Jay Gruden and Tausch's Irish Gaelic pirate. Your drone imitation may be the best voice we've had in a very long time. Certainly better than my Terry Bradshaw. I've never seen one. I am intrigued by it. So there's like hundreds of drones that are in the sky for this?
Yeah, I believe they gave the amount. I don't have the article up. I just kind of summarized there. Yes, it's hundreds of them that do make shapes and kind of move around. And I don't know how to define it either. Something about like a computer program versus like the explosions and the uniqueness of fireworks.
Sure.
Kind of really takes away from the whole thing.
Fair. Whoa, Josh.
Whoa, Nelly.
This is an interesting one here. Japan has introduced new rules to put outlandish baby names to bed. The change is designed to halt the use of, quote, shiny or glittery names that have proliferated among parents. They have specifically criticized parents for using names like Pikachu, Nike, Diamond, Winnie the Pooh, Kitty, Prince, and strangely, Devil, which is a strange name to name your child. But what are your thoughts on
Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, yeah. Thoughts on glittery names or people who, because let's be honest, you've seen some names, and I'm sure both you young kids.
Ruth.
You see some young kid's name, and you go, those people are doing too much with that name. What are they doing there?
Seven.
Apple. Here's what I'm going to say. We have seen, and it's pretty much universal now around the world, birth rates declining at a rapid level. Japan, I know, is at the top of that list. I know the U.S. has dipped a bunch, too. I am not interested in policing people's names. I think we need to continue to try and find ways to up the birthing of society. So I am totally against this, Joshy. Totally against it.
Would you prefer?
Josh, I'm going to tell you this, man. I love doing Whoa, Joshy, because we just went a whole show almost all Packer. And I don't know if I'm getting AI. I don't know if I'm getting robotics. I don't know if I'm getting Gerald Ford. I get great book reviews from you. You bring a different vibe that I like.
I appreciate that. I try and get a little out there, you know, a little interesting. I think there's plenty of interest here. The one thing is, and there's studies on this, that children with more unique names oftentimes suffer in the long run due to, like, job hiring and the way they're thought amongst their peers, which adds an interesting wrinkle aside from the birth rates thing.
Like, can we agree that we need to pick it up when it comes to birth rates? Can we all agree on that?
Not necessarily, no.
Oh, boy.
Would you prefer they all be populated by Elon Musk and his harem of people like he's doing? Or is that maybe eugenics and he's kind of doing something gross there? Because that seems to be where you're coming from.
I'm trying to say, like, Joshy, and I'm not trying to get into eugenics. I don't even know what that means. But what I am asking is if you're Joshy, you're probably right.
Whoa, Nelly!
It's probably glad it's the end of the show. Yeah. You know what? Let me rephrase this. Come on back, Jesse. Get back here quick, brother.
Wow. We will wrap things up. Why didn't you just go, we need to get back to solid, great American names like Mark and Jason and Ruth.
That's where we should have gone already.
We did. Yeah. We'll wrap things up with more talk about eugenics. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Unfortunately, we have run out of time, so we cannot continue our discussion.
Shucks.
We'll also talk about the benefits of ketamine tomorrow as well. That's it for us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.